sermon I gave, and I said, we all get in routines. And when you get out of that routine, sometimes you just, you miss things a little bit, you know, and it's not like you do it on purpose or nothing, but it's odd how we are creatures of, you know, the saying, whatever it is. Yeah. Well, good morning. Welcome to Tootle Christian Fellowship. Today, you all are going to help me do a joke on Adam. I'm not a jokester, really, but, you know, he tells these jokes and stuff up here, and he's always pulling funnies on me. So when he comes back, I need all of you to say, Adam, why did you force Rich into teaching on Psalms? Now, I mean, all of you have got to do it or it ain't going to work, okay? And then he's going to come up to me and I'm going to say, what are you talking about? Okay, do we got it? Okay, hey, thanks, great. Okay, today we're going to be in a psalm, and it's actually a psalm that the women went through. It's in chapter 121. And when I do a talk, a sermon, study, whatever you do, I like to get a little information on the book, the author, you know, so it helps me maybe understand what they're trying to get to me. So what I was talking about routine, I got to get my glasses out so I can see. Okay. A little info on, first, the book of Psalms. You know, there's songs, hymns, poetry, prayers, even prophecy in it. And unfortunately, it's a book I haven't been in a whole lot, I'm ashamed to say. The word psalm in Hebrew, not Greek, because in the Old Testament it's Hebrew, means praise. There's 150 chapters, and it's divided into five books. Now, there's a couple other little things that the women studied. There's 15 chapters, and they're called ascents, or steps, or degrees. And it's they take a word from an early phrase, maybe not a word even, maybe a phrase from an early verse, and then they build on that all the way through till it becomes a greater truth or strength. So, and that's what our psalm is today, so we'll be looking at that. Then there's another great thing in them, and I think there's roughly like 13 chapters that are this, and they're called acrostics. And it takes a verse and it'll take a initial letter out of it to help spell or show the alphabet of the Hebrew. And they can take it from one verse clear up to eight verses. So if you notice in the song, the chapter 119, you'll see these words. It's amazing how God's word is such a great teaching tool, and how in the early years they had their act together using it. We've kind of strayed from it, but, and also these 15 chapters that are ascents, they were songs that the Israelites would sing when they would be on their journey to Jerusalem, and going, they went generally like three times a year to festivals. And it was Passover, unleavened bread, and harvest was the three most common. There were other festivals, but these were the three that most people attended. And like I said, God's word is such an awesome teaching tool. Here, they had their kids, their families, everybody singing a song and learning at the same time. You know, when you try to get your kid to read the Bible, why don't I want to read the Bible? Come on, can't we read something else and stuff? But they had them singing songs. You know, all kids like to raise their voice. At least I did when I was young. You know, I don't know, I wasn't a singer, so, but I would have blew my mouth out and, you know, checked it out. So it's amazing how God's word is when we really take a step back, is like I'd like to tell my one son, and look at it, you know, and just grab all them gems that he has for us. Okay, the outline for chapter 121 is in verses 1 and 2, we see the contemplation of the journey. And then verses 3 through 8 is God's promises or assurances to us. So I'm going to read all eight chapters, and then we'll work, or excuse me, verses. I might be a little nervous this morning, okay? It's a little out of my realm being up here. Okay, the eight verses, here we go. And I read out of the NAS, just so you know, so I'm going to be a little bit different, okay? I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. From whence shall my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to slip. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will protect you from all evil. He will keep your soul. The Lord will guard your going out and your coming in from this time forth. And what does your Bible say?
Forever.
Oh, forever. Isn't that amazing? Think about it. We got to know this. He is forever our protector. Amen, huh? Okay, it's going to be warm today, so I picked a chapter that has only 8 verses so we can be a little quick and get out of here and maybe get home, because for some reason, I don't know, it might be because I'm nervous, but I seem like a little warm in here. Okay, here we go. Verse 1. I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. Sometimes, you know, a little word in the verse brings a lot to us. And the word that I'm thinking of is, it says, I will lift up my eyes. Up. When we look up. Okay. And when he's looking up, he's looking to the mountains of Jerusalem. And I don't mean that there is a mountain named Jerusalem. I mean, the city Jerusalem is in the mountains. And just so, you know, you kind of get a little bit of an idea, the elevation of Jerusalem is 2,474 feet. We're like 500 feet right here. So you see what I mean by when they look up, they're looking up to the mountains where Jerusalem is. And then, you know, when I was reading through this, I thought in James 1:17, what does it tell us? It tells us all good things come from above. Okay, the rest of verse 1 says, from whence shall my help come? Now we see he's questioning his faith a little bit. Have we ever done that? You never questioned your faith? Wow, you guys are good. I have quite often. I say, I'm a sinner. I gotta work harder, try harder. You know, we all say the same things, and I think this is what he's going through. And he might even be saying, thinking, you know, his offering's not good enough for the festival, you know, so he has a little more pressure put on him. Okay, now, this is, we're going to have to be multitaskers today, because I want to show you also, you know, I want to go through and give us what the verses mean, but I also want to show you when I said it was an ascent chapter, how they take a word or a phrase. Okay, in the second part of verse 1, the ascent is my help. And that's what they're going to build on. The Spirit's going to build on that. And we're going to keep showing how it builds on it. And I don't want it to confuse us from our message either. So I kind of tossed this around. Should I talk about it? Should I didn't? But it's part of the chapter, so we're going to go for it. Okay. Verse 2. My help comes from the Lord. So see, he's already affirmed his faith in the Lord. Then in the second part, who made heaven and earth? Now, the maker of heaven and earth is a title given to our Lord. It is used 5 times in the Old Testament in the Hebrew and 3 times in the Psalms alone. So, and it also, the title points to his sovereign work in creation. But there's another view that you can take too. Remember, the Israelites are surrounded by heathens, pagans. You know, they worshiped idols and things like that. So when the Israelite is speaking this, he's showing them that, hey, you're worshiping something that my God made. So, you know, he was bringing a point to them. You know, they were worshiping the creation instead of the creator. And that was, I think, a view that he was trying to show them. Okay. Now the ascent. Remember we said it started out, my help. now is, my help comes from the Lord. See how they're starting to build on this. Okay, now that we're just flying right through, we're going to go into verses 3 through 8, and that's the assurances or protection promises of the Lord. Now, I want you to notice something, though. In these next five verses, the pronouns change. What I mean by pronouns is the I and my changes to you and your. So we have another speaker speaking now. It's not the Israelite that started it. So, you know, maybe it's a priest that's traveling with his family or tribe to Jerusalem. We really don't know. We wouldn't know. Maybe it's even the father. I don't know. But it does, and I wanted to just show you that. Okay, verse 3. He will not allow your foot to slip. You know, we talked about how high Jerusalem was in elevation and stuff, and anybody that has walked in the mountains know sometimes the trails and paths are steep. So, you know, one slip of your foot could end up being fatal. Now, isn't it comforting to know we have a guide who is omniscient, omnipotent, and unchanging? Because remember, he's forever with us, forever. Verse 3b, he who keeps you will not slumber. So we know now that when dangers are awake around us, we are safe, for our keeper is awake and will not permit us to be overtaken. Okay, now we're going to multitask again. We started out, my help. My help comes from the Lord. Now it's he who keeps you. Okay? Okay, verse 4. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. First thing I want us to look at is the first word, behold. Remember in the Gospels, Jesus sometimes would start a verse, verily, verily, or truly, truly. You know, and that's telling us, get our ears open, something important's coming. That's what the word behold is here. It's saying, listen up. I'm going to give you some good wisdom coming at you. Okay. Isn't it awesome to know that no form of unconsciousness overtakes our protector, neither the deep slumber nor the lighter sleep? And remember, it's forever. I can't pronounce that word enough. It's always forever our protection. Okay? And then I thought, you know, remember the story about the thief in the night? He don't have a chance against us, does he? Because our Lord's got us. Okay, now we're back to multitasking again. I know this can be kind of confusing, but the ascent was my help. Then it went to my help comes from the Lord. Then it went to he who keeps you. He who keeps Israel. So see, he's jumped up to now, he's keeping Israel. Okay, verse 5. The Lord is your keeper. Here, the word Lord is Jehovah. So Jehovah is our keeper. He's yours, he's mine, he's our keeper, ours. You know, it's a personal thing for the Lord. It's one-on-one. He doesn't tell us that we have angels or there's going to be a friend. It's him and him alone that is our protector forever. Forever. I mean, when I read that, I don't get them much anymore, but my Aunt Violet gave me this saying. When I read this and I started teaching this, boy, I got the Jesus bumps on the back of my neck. Hallelujah. And I don't get them very often anymore. Maybe I'm slipping. Who knows? But okay, moving on into verse 5. The rest of verse 5 is, there is your shade. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. I'm going to talk a little bit about this in just a little bit, but shade is a word, I think, we'll go with it. I looked it up in the Hebrew, and the word translates to shadow. And it has two meanings to it. So I'm going to read you both so you know what it is. You know, I try to give as much information as I can. Okay, a man's life is similar to a temporary fleeting shadow. The term is used to describe the failing, frail condition. I got something kind of comical just to interrupt here. I sometimes get on rabbit trails. I want you to know that I rewrote my sermon probably enough. Well, I used 3 ink pens. That's how many times I rewrote it. So when you struggle, think of me. Okay. The second definition is shadow can be a convey or can bring the conveying sense of protection. You know, say from like heat or cold, because that's the example we have, you know, the moon and the sun. You know, that's our use. It should be a great feeling for us knowing God is near. He's our shadow right here. That's how close he is. And remember, that's forever. Right here. Right here. And it also means that he's giving protection to us at all times, acting as a right hand attendant, right there forever. I can't say that word enough. Forever. Whew. Okay. Now, because he's our protector, I want to give an example of in the Old Testament of what he did for some people, and it was the Israelites. It's in Exodus 40, 38, when they're in the desert. He had a cloud over them, Israel, in the day, a cloud with fire in it at night. That's our God giving protection and love to his people forever. Okay, now we're back to a multitask point now. Remember, the ascent started out, my help. My help comes from the Lord. He who keeps you, he who keeps Israel, now it's Jehovah is our keeper. This is probably the apex of the ascent, but there is a couple other things going on that modifies Jehovah as our, it gives an explanation of exactly what he does or tries to do, or not try, but he will do for us. So. Okay, verse 6. The sun will not smite you by day nor by the moon. Now we know that day and night is all time, right? Thus, the ever-present protection from Jehovah for us never ceases. And all evil may be stated under the sun or moon, but for us it's easier to say the world. But if neither of these can smite us, then who or what can harm us? And I'm thinking, I can't name the verse right away, but it's, you know, God says, if God's for us, I think it was Paul saying it, if God's for us, who can be against us? You know? Okay. Verse 7. The Lord will protect you from all evil. Okay. In your translation, you maybe had preserve instead of protect. The original word was keep. Now, this is my own personal opinion on this, okay? So take it for a grain of salt. But I think, you know, they put protect or preserve, the English translators do, so we have an easier way to understand what they're trying to tell us. But sometimes I think it waters it down. And I think this is a really good example right here, because when I looked up the definition of keep, this is what it said. Keep is a far-reaching word of covering or protection. It includes everything and excludes nothing, evil great and small, temporary and eternal. It's forever. Forever, forever, our protection. So see, I think the word keep, when we look the meaning up, brings a little stirring in our hearts to where, you know, protection or preserve, he'll keep us. So keep that in mind when you read. You'll see, like mine has a little footnote, little one. Then you go down to the bottom of the page, it says keep. So you know that's the original word that the translators have just changed. Okay, verse 7 again here. He will keep your soul. The God is the keeper of our souls. And we will touch on this just again a little bit later in the message here. But I want to give us a few examples of what it means to keep our soul. He keeps us from the dominion of sin. We're no longer a slave to it. The infection of error, doubt. Satan's very good at putting doubt in us. You know, I'm not good enough. I'm a sinner, you know, and all this. So we have protection from that. The puffing of pride or ego. Kept from the world, the flesh, or the devil. We're kept for holier and greater things. Kept in the love of God. Kept unto the eternal kingdom and glory forever. Okay, now we're going to multitask again. The ascent. Remember, we started out, my help. My help comes from the Lord. He who keeps you, he who keeps Israel, Jehovah is our keeper, the apex. The Lord will protect you, and he will keep your soul. Okay, now we're into verse 8. The Lord will guard your going out and your coming in from this time forth, and there's my word, forever. We see that the psalm is ending with a renewal of affirmation that the Lord will keep and watch over us from all evil, from now and forever. And forever, I keep saying forever because this is something we have to know. These are God's promises to us. So keep that. Two words, forever, and that we know it in our hearts. Okay, and then we're going to multitask for the last time. It started out, my help. My help comes from the Lord. He who keeps you, he who keeps Israel, the apex, Jehovah is our keeper. The Lord will protect you. He will keep your soul, and the Lord will guard you forever. Now, in the very end here, we see that the ascents all came like in a triangle. There was three of them. And I kind of think that the Trinity put a sealing mark on the end of this chapter. He protects, keeps, and guards all three in a row. That was just a little thought about the Trinity. Okay. And because we multitask through this, I've got a little bit of an overview so we get of what I have or what I was supposed to get across to you. I don't know if we've achieved that or not. But the overview. Our help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not allow our foot to slip, fail, or fall to death. He will not slumber. He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. Jehovah is our keeper. One-on-one, a relationship forever. The shadow conveying the sense of protection, and he's always there, right there, always forever. Okay, Jehovah, okay, shadow conveying, okay, excuse me, protection never ceases. Jehovah keeps us from all evil. Jehovah, keeper of our souls. And then we had the new renewed affirmation that the Jehovah will keep and watch us forever. And like I said, these are God's promises to us. We do nothing to receive these. This is all his work. It's his word. It's his doing. All we have to do is say, Lord, I need you. And he's right here. Forever, forever. That's almost hard to grasp that he's right here for me, for you, for every one of us, forever. Okay, now I my wife brought this up to me, so I'm thanking her for it. And I don't want no one to be confused with the teaching that they give us here in 121 that we won't have trials, because we will. I mean, a good example is Job. You know, look at all the trials he went through. But in chapter 2, verse 6, God warns Satan, do not take his life. Jehovah is the Savior of our soul, right here forever. Okay, and I've just got one last little thing to share. I read an article in a Christian pamphlet, magazine, I don't know what you want to call it, but and it's a true story. You can look up on the internet, and the names that I give you, you can look up, and they're very well-known theologians that the story is, okay? Okay, and the heading of the article was, in redemptive history, there has been a high view of God and a low view of God. Now, what they mean by that is, like I would use it for example, when our country was founded by the pilgrims and everyone else, there was a very high view of God. And I'd have to say maybe right now, I don't mean within us, but our country, we probably have a low view of God right now. He's not the most important thing in our lives. You know, if it feels good, we do it. That's what really spurred me on to this article that I read. And I just give you a little information. It was about a Dr. Donald Gray Barnhouse. He went to the University of Chicago, then he attended Princeton for his theological for his master's. He did the Barnhouse one-hour Bible study on the radio, but he's probably best known for his commentary on Romans. But if you look him up, he was an outstanding theologian. And in his senior year at Princeton, he was the valedictorian. And with that, he was supposed to give the commencement speech at graduation. Now, after the ceremony, one of his professors, Reuben Abraham Torrey, came over to him and told him he had a high view of God. And this was gathered from his speech. Now, trust me, when I read this next verse and stuff, it's all going to come together when I get done, so have patience with me. Now I want to go, and I want to read a verse. It was on the road to Emmaus, the two travelers that Jesus had them. Okay? And they said to one another, were not our hearts burning within us while he was speaking to us on the road? With that, when we are talking to people, sharing the high view of God, we should pray every morning that God allows their hearts to burn inside them. That's got to be our prayer. So when we share, we burn their hearts, not us, but the Word. And we're able to do that. You know, I've always said, I wish that I had something that I could tell somebody to show them, you know, what you get when you finally get it in your heart. And I think that's what this is here. So think about that when you share. Give the best view of God we can give. And that's all I've got. Thank you. I would like to, the person that taught me said, never speak about yourself. But I really don't know what's in your hearts. And when I read this, you know, I never give it much thought about, you know, you hear about the Lord being our protector and sleep. The verse in Luke where they left the upper room and they went to the Garden of Gethsemane, well, actually it says the Mount of Olives, and Jesus told his disciples to pray. And he went a stone throws off, you know, and you guys know it, you know, an angel came and he sweated blood and all this. And he came back and he found the disciples asleep. And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, boy, it burned my heart. I thought, you know, am I sleeping? But actually not sleeping? Because I sat here, you know, and I tell myself, oh, man, I don't have time to read. I don't have time to pray. I don't have time to go down and do some service at the church. And correct me if I'm wrong, but nowhere in the Bible do I read that God doesn't have time for me. So it really struck me. So, okay. And I want to do something a little different. I want us all to stand up. And will you put the Lord's Prayer up here, please? I'd like us to all stand up, and I'd like us all to gather together so we all have our hands, join hands. And I would like us to say the Lord's Prayer, and I want us to speak it out loud. Not just mumble. Let's say it and let him hear us say it, okay? Okay. Okay. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Ah, thank you. Thank you. Let's give him a good hand. And I want you to know that if you need prayer, please come forward. There's people that would love to come up here, and they do, to pray for you, with you, and it's a blessing to them too. And then the second thing I have, you know, today was about God's promises. I have a couple books that are free to anybody that would like to take it and read it, and it talks of God's promises. So if anybody wants one, please come up and take them. And you're dismissed. Thank you very much.